Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit.
Glenn didn't get up, so I assumed I was preaching this morning. Yesterday was a really fun day. It was a beautiful day as well. You can't really beat 60 plus degree weather and completely sunny outside, not much of a breeze, but I don't think you can really beat the sound of guns going off in the distance either. But yesterday was a great fun time with some of the men of the congregation that came to the Ammo and Fun Fest, and I'm sure the Ladies Day or the Ladies Retreat as well. I'm sure that all went very well. Just some great things this weekend that went on for the church here at Greenbrier. Very encouraging and just some great times to get together. I was thinking about what to talk about this morning, and there's been already one or two times where I've told Shelley, hey, this is what I'm preaching on Sunday, so that she can put it in the bulletin. Well, I'm afraid I failed at that again. I ended up changing what I was going to talk about. Eventually, I'm going to do it so many times that I'm going to be forced to actually go with what I intend to talk about. But today, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 118. Psalm chapter 118. You know, the thing about people in general is that we have very much the ability to be vulnerable. And what makes us vulnerable is, sometimes our feelings, our emotions, our opinions, sometimes, and, you know, the thing about us as people is that what the Bible tells us is that we were designed to follow. We were designed to be sheep, which means as sheep, we need a shepherd. We're not very well off as sheep to be protectors for ourselves and to make decisions for ourselves. And of course, our shepherd as Christians and as people of the church is God. He is our shepherd. So without him leading us, we can become lost. We can become exposed, and we can become in danger. The Lord himself has said that he is our shepherd, that he is the door, and that he is the great I am, that there's no one else like him. With Jesus as our Lord, I hope that we can see that we can have hope, that we can believe we can have hope, that we can understand that we are truly loved and that we never have to fear anything. Jesus proves daily, not just in our lives, but through his truth, that that we are truly loved because of what he did, because of the sacrifice that he gave of dying on the cross for our sins and giving us the opportunity of salvation, the opportunity to have a home with him in heaven one day, to have eternal life. Because of Jesus, we should have confidence and no fear. And completely messed up where we were going to be. Psalm 118 was the original one. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we're going to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Excuse me. I'll eventually get everything in order here. But 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it says, For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. There are four things this morning that I want us to see, and then the lesson will be yours. But this passage, or just this one scripture here, gives us these just simple ideas of how because God lives, because Jesus lives, and because we live, we have these similarities. We have this kind of relationship in this way that, you know, there are things that Jesus went through that we will go through as well. The first thing that I want us to see from this scripture is that, number one, Jesus died because of sin. You know, if we had to ask ourselves what sin is, what would we say? As we know, sin is what separates us from God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is falling short. It's not attaining to the that which God has set before us. It's falling short of what God desires and what God has said is right. The thing about sin is that God hates sin. Since it separates us from God and God hates it, you know, God, he does not wish for any to perish. He wishes for us to repent of those things and to come to him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slack, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Recognize that I said that God hates sin. That means that he only hates the sin. He does not hate the sinner. And I think that is a concept that we get mixed up with, or that people tend to imply that if God hates the sin, he hates the person who is sinning. And that is so much not true. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, you know, it lists off some of the sins that God hates. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, God hates the sin that people commit, but he does not hate the sinner. In that case, if that were the case, then that means God does not love one person in this room. God would not want any of us to repent of those things. He would say it's too late. But as 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Romans 3:23, and even with right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, all these things going together shows that God wants us to repent, and he wants us to be on his side. He doesn't want the sin that he died for become a stumbling block to us. If we do sin, he allows us to come back to him because he loves us. Imagine that kind of love that, you know, that it takes to die for someone. Or even yet, the kind of love it takes to die for the generations to come. You know, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and yet his promise still lives today because he died for that sin. He died for my sin, your sin, and even for the ones to be born and to come after us, even when we're long gone, if that be the Lord's will. That's what he has died for. God had determined a long time ago that Jesus would die, and that it would be for the sin of man, and that there would be an offering of salvation from that. God offered his only son for the salvation of man. You know, but the thing is that Jesus, he was ready to do that. He was even willing to do that. Some of Jesus' most famous words come from John chapter 15, verse 13. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." These are specific words from Jesus. These aren't Jesus' words through his apostle, through to us. This is straight from Jesus' mouth, that the greatest love is to lay down your life for your friends, for the people around you, for the people that you believe that you want to have a relationship with. And Jesus was the primary example of what that scripture is. He died for you and he died for me, and he died for the sin that we all have in our lives. No greater love than has one than to lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than for one to lay down his life for the sins of his friends. Number two. So we said that he died because of sin, but yet today he continues to live, and that's because of God. He lives because of God. You know, regardless that sacrifice that Jesus made, it did not take away from his immorality. Though he died physically because of God, he continues to live spiritually. He reigns on God's throne, and he reigns forever in heaven. You know, it's the way it worked was, it's kind of like today's modern workplace. You know, if you work a long time, you'll retire and, you know, maybe eventually get Social Security. You know, it may not be much, but it's a little, I guess, something for working. Jesus worked for God his whole life, and he received a reward. He received something for doing that. While his reward was heaven, which is far greater than what we get here on earth, we're told that if we proclaim the word of God and continue to believe in him, be faithful and do the work of the Lord, then we will receive that reward, and that is heaven. We will receive eternal life. We will receive that heavenly reward. Because of knowing this, Jesus did not have to live in fear. He knew that if he continued to do the will of God, that this is what he would get. And the thing is, God even said that Jesus has eternal life, and that when he died, he would be raised up in 3 days and live again. So even if Jesus already knew that, like, you know, he had no reason to fear death. He had every reason in the world to continue to do his Father's will. This again proves that Jesus is our Savior, that he lives because of God. He is our Savior. Now, Isaiah chapter 53, it describes the cruelty that a man would go through, that man being Jesus. Jesus went through so much, not on just our behalf, but on the behalf of God. Basically saying that, you know, no one ever said that God's work was going to be easy. In fact, the Bible even proclaims for itself that that living for God and proclaiming his word is going to be filled with trials and tribulation that the world will bring upon it. Jesus, he endured the beatings and the hatred and the spitting and the scourging and just everything that no one else would be willing to bear for the purpose that it was for. But no matter what, he wanted the will of the Father to be done. That's what makes him our Savior. That's the reason he lives, is because of giving his life for God, and God blessing him in return with that eternal life and reigning on the throne in heaven. So we've seen that Jesus died because of sin, and that but he lives because of God. Thing is, this kind of works the same way for us as well. Point number three, we die because of sin. verse 4, it says, you know, for indeed he was crucified because of weakness. He was crucified because of the sin of man. He was crucified because man had this weakness that we could not get rid of. But yet he lives because of the power of God, because God was going to allow him to live through this. But then it goes on to say, for we also are weak in him. We die because of this sin. We die because we're weak in God. Being weak in God is, if we're weak in God, then we need to figure out how to become strong in him. Jesus died for our sins, but sin can still keep us from living. Paul reminded the Corinthian church that they needed to test themselves, that their faith needed to be tested. Verse 5 and 6, it says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail that test. Even though Paul, when writing this letter, still felt as the chief of sinners and that his past still kind of weighed on him in a way that made him feel like, you know, his chances of going to heaven were maybe a little bit bleak, or that he didn't deserve the grace and the mercy that God had given him. He still knew that if he continued to proclaim the message of God, that he would get to heaven. That as long as he was faithful and did the things that God wanted him to do, that he would get there. That's why he's telling the Corinthian church, if you continue to constantly do this, you will find yourselves getting closer and closer to God as your lives continue to move forward. And test your faith and examine it. And that every time you do that, hopefully you see yourself growing in Christ. Their faith needed to be tested. He wanted to examine themselves so that they might see if Jesus is in their lives. And this is something that is binding on us today. We are needed to do this. If we're weak in Christ, we have that chance that we are able to fall away and honestly may get to a point to where we may never come back or even may never find him. The thing about sin is that it leads to death. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But there's that positive clause on the end of it. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin causes death. Sin is a practice, and it destroys us. There's only one way that we can be saved and continue to live. And that is, number 4, we live because of God. Because of God, Jesus died for our sins. Because of Jesus, we have eternal life. Because he lives, we can live. We have no need to fear, because a life was given for our transgressions, for our sins, for the things that could bring us down and keep us away from that relationship that we need to have with God. Many times in the Psalms, the Bible talks about how God is the God of all comfort, and that, you know, that no matter in what situation, he is that shepherd that is willing to be there and willing to protect us and willing to help us in anything. So how can we show that we are thankful and that we understand that because he lives, we can live? Because of what he did, because of the sacrifice he gave, we are able to live as well. I think there are 3 things this morning that we can do real quick that will show God that we are thankful and that we understand that what it means and how thankful we are because God lives, because he gives us the opportunity to live. Number one, tell God you are thankful in prayer. You know, God, that is the way we communicate with God, is through prayer. That is the way that we build that relationship and that one-on-one kind of that one-on-one relationship. Together here during worship, we're able to build our relationship with Christ together. But when it comes to prayer, when it comes to you and God, that is one-on-one time with you and the Lord. And it helps us, because that is one thing that not anyone else has control over. It's not a point where someone else is telling you what to say. It allows you to bring the things that maybe you're struggling with, the things that you're thankful for, and the things that you're thinking about. And you're able to tell God that you're thankful to Him. So, one, tell God that you're thankful in prayer. Number two, get the sin out of your life. Don't continue to sin. You know, it's very easy to get into a habit of something. Very easy to be influenced by things that maybe cause you to sin, or things that, you know, that maybe trigger something, and, you know, maybe we end up doing something that's irresponsible. We can show God that we are thankful to Him by not sinning, or that if we do, then we at least ask forgiveness for those sins. Number three, we can work for the Lord. I think that's probably the greatest thing that we can possibly do with our lives, is working for the Lord. Now, there's I think it was this last weekend, there was a campaign for, I think there was, can't remember exactly what it's called, but there was a campaign for 200 plus churches going out on a nationwide campaign, a nationwide door knocking campaign. And I haven't seen the results of it, but from the things I've heard, that it was very helpful and that it was a success. You know, when churches are able to get together and do things like that, not only does that show the ability and the faithfulness of the workers that are in the church, but it helps show the world that the church stands by what it believes. You know, we have you know, some events coming up here pretty soon, and you know, and those things need workers. Those things need those things need people who are willing to step up and help and make sure that these events become successful. If we pursue the work of the church with our lives, that's one of the things that God is going to list on Judgment Day, that, you know, that He was thankful for. That's one thing for our case that we can plead for, is that, hey, we helped with this. Does this help our case at all? Tell God that you're thankful. Don't sin. Continue working for Him. Because He lives, we have a chance to have a home with Him in heaven one day. We have a chance to be comforted by the Savior Himself, and we have a chance to have salvation. Ever since Jesus died on the cross, the way to achieve salvation was through baptism. It's through confessing your sins, or repenting of your sins, confessing in His name, having faith and believing in Him as the great I Am, as God, as the shepherd that will lead you through your life and will help you to be the Christian that you need to be. God wants us to know that we have no reason to fear these things. In Christ, we have a life that is eternal, and that's why we can have confidence in believing in Him and trusting in Him and letting Him be the shepherd that we need. Because He lives, all fear is gone. And because I know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives. This morning, you have an opportunity to to accept God as your Savior. If you have not been baptized in the watery grave, you have a chance to do that this morning. You have that chance to be saved, by which the conditions that Jesus and God's word that has been set before us. Or if you just need help and you need help to grow in your future, and you just need the prayers of the congregation to help you, if there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.